just like Jesus. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. These words were surely the result of a clarity of understanding of how Paul's life and apostolic mission would provide living patterns for Christians throughout the gospel age. Just like Jesus, the Apostle Paul was able to teach with his actions as well as with his words. The last six chapters of the Acts of the Apostles provide a rich narrative of Paul's capture and trial by the Jews in Jerusalem. It continues with his being passed on to Roman custody and eventually his travel to Rome to be tried in Caesar's court. It is unlikely that Paul was surprised by any of these events. After all, he was shown what great things he must suffer for the Lord's name in order to be a witness of Jesus to the Gentiles, to kings, and to Israel. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. Perhaps like Jesus, Paul set his face to go to Jerusalem and then be taken to Rome, knowing that his time was come. Luke chapter 9, verse 41. Acts chapter 21, verses 11 through 14. Paul came to his own too. John chapter 1, verse 11. Acts 22 finds Paul witnessing to a Jewish mob that dragged him out of the temple and who would have killed him if not for the swift intervention of a Roman guard. As in Jesus' case, the Hebrew leaders wanted to kill Paul because of his apparent disregard for Jewish tradition, his new understanding of the written word, and his kindness to the Gentiles. After his capture, but before entering prison, he used the relative safety provided by Roman soldiers to preach the message to those who nearly killed him just minutes earlier. The sight of Paul taking advantage of the unfolding of this event must have been simply amazing to behold. Paul reflected our Lord's character as he addressed the crowd with empathy. He called them brothers and fathers, Acts chapter 22, verse 1. He even publicly confessed that he was once part of an enraged mob who persecuted the way and even took part in the killing of Stephen, Acts chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 16. He provided his credentials as a Pharisee and mentioned Gamaliel's name, a very respected teacher of the law at the time. These credentials bought him enough time to share his own amazing story of redemption and his personal relationship with the Lord. Just like Jesus, he preached to the house of Israel wholeheartedly, even as he knew he would be rejected. Acts chapter 22, verse 18. Sent to the house of Israel too. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. The crowd erupted with displeasure when Paul described how God sent him to preach to the Gentiles. The blindness and hardness of their hearts prevented them from believing that God also loved the rest of mankind, the object of the Abrahamic promise. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Somehow, over time, the Jews arrived at a point in their faith where worshiping the physical temple became more important than worshiping the presence of him who sanctified it. However, while Jesus' mission was to carry the sins of Israel and of the world like a lamb to slaughter, Paul was protected for a time. Not a hair on his head would be lost while he was needed for the work. Luke chapter 21, verses 14 through 19. Starting in Acts chapter 22, verse 26, Paul found himself under Roman protection due to his higher Roman citizenship. What the Israelites saw as state-run oppression and occupation by the Roman Empire now became the very context which allowed Paul to fulfill his mission and preach his message not only to the Jews, but also to kings and to the Gentiles. Just like Jesus, Paul was able to serve the will of God by allowing those in authority to control his physical liberty. Paul offered to open their eyes too. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 23 starts with Paul being brought in front of the Sanhedrin. Once again, they rejected the gospel message, thus fulfilling Jesus' prophecy of his suffering. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Ananias, the high priest, ordered that Paul be beaten over his mouth because of his words. Earlier, it was another Ananias who opened Paul's eyes by trusting the Lord's direction and casting aside his earthly fears. That first Ananias was a poignant example of how Jesus' true followers submit to his will to open the understanding of others. Perhaps the last example illustrates how institutionalized religion ignores the divine will, trying to stop the message of hope. Just like Jesus, John chapter 18, verse 23, Paul questioned the validity of the smiting under Mosaic law. He also cast a final judgment on the religious establishment of his day by calling its chief representative a whitewashed wall. Acts chapter 23, verse 3, reminiscent of when Jesus called the religious elite whitewashed sepulchres. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Also, like Jesus, Paul immediately stopped the attack on the high priest when he learned of his identity. He knew that the ministry of Jesus was to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Acts chapter 23, verse 5. Instead, the apostle focused on the core of his message for the remainder of his mission, the hope for the resurrection of the dead through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 23, verse 6, chapter 24, verse 15, chapter 25, verse 19, chapter 26, verse 8. Immediately after this event, the Lord encouraged Paul to fulfill his witness to kings and Gentiles. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Have courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome." Acts chapter 23, verse 11. After the Sanhedrin failed to bring an accusation against Paul, more than 40 Jewish enemies bound themselves with a curse to neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. As in Jesus' case, the accusers were to bring the same curse upon themselves. Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. The number 40 is a special number in the Scriptures. It is often connected to God's protection in hard times. 40s appear in the lives of Moses, Elijah, David, Solomon, and especially the 40 days our Lord spent in the wilderness after his baptism. Perhaps the men who wanted to kill Paul demonstrated how those who resist God are tempted to go beyond God's grace and actually bring destruction upon themselves by disobeying both the Spirit and the letter of the written word. After the evil plot against Paul was revealed, he was moved to Caesarea. Acts chapter 23, verses 12 through 35. While Jesus was judged and condemned in a set of elaborate and orchestrated events during the night, Paul was saved in an equally elaborate chain of events. Indeed, these events were emblematic of the night of the Jewish age, just as it had become the dawn of the gospel age. Paul went where Jesus sent him. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Caesarea was built by the Romans, and it was the capital of Palestine. It quickly became the center of Roman administrative power over Israel. The axe was already at the root of the trees. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. This signified the passing of God's favor from the Jews to the Gentiles. Caesarea was also the site of Cornelius' baptism, the first Gentile believer. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It is no surprise that the Jewish religious leaders lacked any authority in this city. The high priest was forced to make the trip from Jerusalem to Caesarea and then cast his accusations through an interpreter, just as any common man. Acts chapter 24, verse 1. His flattery and accusations fell on deaf ears with Felix, the Roman governor. Over the next 2 years, the relentlessness of the chief priests and Jewish leaders continued to provide Paul with renewed opportunities to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead in Caesarea. New rulers precipitated a new trial, as in the case of Governor Festus, King Agrippa, and his sister Bernice. Acts chapter 25, verses 1 through 3. Ironically, the Roman trial format and procedures forced the Jewish leaders to repeatedly listen quietly to Paul's testimony over and over. Just like Jesus, Paul was unanimously declared to be innocent by the Roman authority in an obvious rebuke to the chief priests and Jewish leaders. Acts chapter 26, verses 30 through 32. This rebuke was likely a stink in the nose of the chief priests, and it surely damaged their influence among the people. By the time Paul arrived in Rome, the Jewish leaders had given up their attempts to discredit the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 28, verse 21. Chapters 27 and 28 describe Paul's trip to Rome in significant detail. Careful students of the Bible have drawn wonderful prophetic parallels of this trip with the end of the Gospel Age. Our focus here is on Paul's behavior, which is a template worthy of our imitation at this end of the Gospel Age. Paul gave up his own liberty too. John chapter 8, verse 32. Paul was given the option to be freed by King Agrippa, but he submitted himself to the will of the Lord, so he appealed to Rome. While sailing to Rome, the ship encountered storms sure to destroy it. Only our Lord has authority over the elements, So the apostle imitated his Lord and Master Jesus Christ by offering hope in God's salvation to all 276 souls while in the midst of the storm. All of them were saved, even though the ship was lost. Paul faithfully taught from God's word and brought light in a time of darkness. He comforted the brokenhearted on the ship and pointed them to the one source of salvation. All the ship's passengers survived, even the prisoners who shared the claims with the Apostle Paul. Paul gave them peace too. John chapter 16, verse 33. Once the group reached land, Paul was bitten by a poisonous viper, yet he suffered no ill effects. This is a reminder of the salvation that is provided for those who look upon Jesus. Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. As Jesus will someday crush the serpent's head, Paul easily shook off this serpent into the fire. From this point forward, Paul performed miracle after miracle, healing all who came to him in a wonderful imitation of our Lord's work during his ministry. By the time Paul arrived in Rome, he had been a blessing to all around him, even his captors. While in Rome, he used his freedom and Christian maturity as he welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance to both Jews and Gentiles. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Just like Jesus, Paul learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He clearly understood the mission that God gave him and found his calling a distinct pleasure. It was the joy set before him of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul showed great compassion to his fellow men, even to his captors. He healed them, comforted them, and saved their lives. He redirected all the praise towards God and Jesus. Indeed, let us imitate Paul, just as he imitated Christ.